Psalm 95. Psalm 95, verses 1 through 6. I have a powerful word to share with you. And it lines up with the prophetic words and the songs that were sung today. No surprise. Amen. Psalm 95, verses 1 through 6. And it says this, "Oh, come, let us sing together. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. For the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The heights of the hills are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker." Oh, that's so good. Amen? Now, here it is. So the Holy Spirit gave me a word that you really need to take a hold of. If you catch this revelation today, I believe it will absolutely change your life. And it will change your ministry for the Lord as well. I want to talk about this, releasing the sound of heaven. I want to talk about releasing the sound of heaven and what it means to do that. What does it mean to release the sound of heaven? And the significance of doing that. By the end of this message, I believe that you will have a fresh revelation of this truth. And it will impact your life. You're going to be thinking about this. You're going to be meditating on this. And the Holy Spirit is even going to give you further understanding and revelation. Amen? Amen? So there are several ways that we as Christians can release the sound of heaven on earth. I want to teach on a couple points that's going to equip us here to go higher. I will go as far to say this about this point here. You will not live a victorious Christian life on this earth without releasing the sound of heaven. Say, sound of heaven. Now, releasing the sound of heaven in a nutshell, if I had to just kind of sum it up, I'm going to break it down a little bit deeper. But in a nutshell, it means this, that you are verbally coming into agreement with heaven on earth. You're verbally coming into agreement with heaven on earth. The written word of God and the spoken word of God, both of them, the logos, remember the logos is the written word, right? And the rhema is the spoken word when the Holy Spirit speaks something to you, all right? That's the rhema word. Both of those, when we release, verbally speak the logos and the rhema, we are releasing the sound of heaven, and something powerful is released on earth. Because both the logos and the rhema both originate in heaven. Right? This is not the word of man. This is the word of God right here, the Bible. Amen? So we must release the sound of heaven to release the power of God on earth. Let's dive into it. Matthew 18. Go with me. Matthew 18. I got 10 pages, so just sit back and relax. You'll get to Cracker Barrel when you can. Now, Matthew 18. I heard someone say it's a fine line between a hostage situation and a long sermon, right? But hey, if it's a long message and you're into it, it goes like that. Amen? So just focus a minute, all right? Here we go. So Matthew 18 through 20, Jesus said these words. He said, "Assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree, on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them." So this verse, this passage gives us an insight to a spiritual law, actually a couple spiritual laws. The first one is the power of agreement. Say agreement. Agreement. Now, agreement is just not a verbal thing. True agreement happens at the heart level. Amen? It's not just spoken words, right? But you agree in your heart together. It happens, there's a connection heart to heart. And when you speak, there's a connection, there's agreement with that. So agreement is not a cheap thing. Agreement is not a surface level thing. It's a heart issue, amen? And then it says, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. I want to shine the light on this verse this way here. If we stay silent and not release the sound of heaven, we bind the blessings and the power of God on this earth. All right, so the result is that we will live a defeated, a miserable, and a powerless life on this earth. We need to release the sound of heaven. Say it with me, release the sound of heaven. Number one, whatever you loose on earth, number two, will be loosed in heaven. I want you to notice that the first action of that scripture is first something happens on earth before anything happens in heaven, right? So God is waiting on us as Christians to release the sound of heaven so he can move on earth. It's almost like when you release, speak the word of God, when you speak and release the sound of heaven, you're creating an atmosphere for the Holy Spirit to move. Amen? In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus instructed us to pray this. He said, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. As it is in heaven. We need to be as it is in heaven, Christians. Amen. Now, the resources of heaven are sent to earth as we come in agreement with God and his word. And we verbally release his word, the sound of heaven on earth. Are you kind of picking up what I'm laying down? Am I beating a dead horse? Or a living horse. Come on, what am I? So again, there is power in agreement. So in agreement, there's unity in agreement. Unity is another key to the kingdom that we need to take hold of, all right? And that's where you're going to start to live in the overflow of the blessings of God. You need to come in agreement with his word, all right? There's faith, foolishness, and presumption. Faith is what gets you some things, right? Foolishness and presumption won't get you anything. Pastor Price has a book on that. Faith, foolishness, or presumption. He's passed away now, but he was a pastor in L.A. You've probably seen him on TBN and all that. Powerful book. Get it. Read it. It's powerful. Because many Christians are operating in foolishness and presumption when there's no true agreement in their heart with the word. Does that make sense? All right, so there must be faith for there to be true agreement with God. If there's no faith, if there's doubt and unbelief, there's no true agreement with God in his word. If there's no faith, there's no true spiritual agreement. Both agreement and faith come from the heart. Faith is of the heart, amen? Not even of the head, it's of the heart. Because you can have faith for something when your head's trying to fight you. You ever have that happen before? Right? Yeah, you're standing on the word, believing for a healing, and all of a sudden your head's telling you, hey, dummy, this is going on in your body. No. Let your heart override your head. Amen. Let your heart override your head. Amen? So we set ourselves in agreement with God when we believe and we verbally speak his word. The written word and the prophetic word. Again, the logos and the rhema, all right? If you truly believe it in your heart, it will come out of your mouth. Because the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now, but here's the thing. You can say something where your heart's not connected to it as well. That gives God a bad name. Because you got a lot of Christians where there's no agreement with the word, but they're speaking the word and they're saying, nothing's happening. Are you following me? Well, it's not God's fault. If I was a betting man, I would say it's probably our fault. I'm going to stand on God's word. Amen? I'm going to believe God over you. I'm just going to, right? All right. Now, again, listen to this. Your mouth is an exhaust valve for the heart. Isn't that interesting? What's coming out of that exhaust valve? And it better be connected to your heart, right? All right. But Psalm 119:89 says that God's word is settled forever in heaven. All right? You look in that verse, it doesn't say anything about earth. It doesn't say anything about God's word being settled on earth. It just says that God's word is settled in heaven. Why? The word of God settled in heaven because that's where it originated. We're the ones that are supposed to activate it on earth. You get it? So when we speak, believe and speak his word, we're settling his word on earth. All right? So the word of God originated in heaven, and therefore, again, it was already settled in heaven. All right? There is power in the word of God. It's supernatural. Say the word of God, supernatural. Okay. So our faith, our agreement, our actions, our spoken words, they settle God's word on this earth. The kingdom of God does not get advanced on this earth if we're not doing it. Amen. It's got to come through a Christian. Amen? Our free will must be surrendered to the will of God. God is counting on your free will. That's why I talked about last week. The word of God even says you don't even own your own body. You don't even own your own body. You don't own your own spirit. You don't own your own soul. You don't own your own body. God's saying, it's mine. Now that you're a Christian, you got to surrender your will to my will. Amen. Amen? So when we release the sound of heaven by speaking his word, we are advancing the kingdom of God. We put angels to work by giving voice to the word of God. Go to Psalm 103. Psalm 103, when we release the sound of heaven, God's angels are dispatched on our behalf in that situation that you're speaking to. Psalm 103, we got to be reminded of this. Our words are absolutely powerful. Come on, amen? Amen. Words are so powerful. Doctors who gave death sentences to people and spoke word curses. The people get fearful and take hold of it, and that's the route they go. But the people who say, okay, well, thanks, doc, for your help, but I'm not going to receive your report. God's word says something different. Amen? Psalm 103, 20 through 21. Bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word. Here it is. Heeding the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, you his host, you ministers of his, who do his pleasure. Now, right there, it says, who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. We are the ones that give voice to his word. That's why he doesn't say his word is settled on earth, because we are the one. That all depends on us. It all depends on us. So we give voice to the word of God on this earth. Angels do God's will, or they do God's pleasure on this earth. And the word of God and the prophetic word is the will of God. Right? Again, the word of God gives the general overview of how we need to live our lives. It's the B-I-B-L-E, basic instructions before leaving earth. But don't leave out the instructions of the Holy Spirit, because he's the one giving you intimate details about your life specifically. Amen. Amen. Yes. And that's powerful. Amen. So God's holy angels and ministering spirits are dispatched, listen to this, when they hear the sound of heaven released on earth, or a voice of the word of God. The logos or rhema words are released here on earth. Through a spoken command, a spoken prayer, and the spoken prophetic spiritual gift. Oh, my. We're going to go deeper here in a moment. But they hearken to the voice. You could say it this way. I like saying it this way. Angels and ministering spirits in the kingdom of God, they hearken. They're waiting to act on the voice that's in agreement with God's word, or in agreement with the Spirit of God. The logos and the rhema. Amen? Here we go. We as Christians release the sound of heaven in praise and worship to God. Go to Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. I'm talking about releasing the sound of heaven and how important that is to us as Christians. Not just to us as Christians, selfishly. How important it is to God for his kingdom to be advanced. Amen? Even evangelism. How are people born again? How are they saved? By what? Hearing words. When you release the sound of heaven, something in that unbeliever, even an unbeliever has the sound of heaven rolling around on the inside of them, because God breathed life into them with their spirit, and he formed their physical body. So they know they're miserable because they know they originate from the Creator God, even though they're not acknowledging it. So when they hear the word of God, they're picking up that sound of heaven, and the Holy Ghost is working, listen to me, to lead them to repentance and come back to their Creator. Isn't that powerful? Look at this, Revelation 4, 8 through 11, releasing the sound of heaven. And this is talking about heaven here. The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within. And they do not rest day or night, saying, this is in heaven, holy, 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 the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him, before Jesus, who sits on the throne and worships him who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. Have you ever, this holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come, sometimes in my prayer time here, and wherever, I'll just repeat that, and I can literally feel the atmosphere of heaven start to fill the place. Why? Because I'm coming in agreement with what's taking place in heaven right now. I'm releasing the sound of heaven on earth, and the atmosphere of heaven starts to fill the place. Heaven is a place that is filled with songs of praise and worship to God, all right? You're not just sitting on a cloud eating cotton candy. Come on, somebody. It's interesting that voice, if you look in the beginning of that chapter, John heard God say, come up here. Isn't that it? I love that. Come up here. God's saying the same thing to us. Come on up. Come on up higher. Start to live like who you really are, a citizen of heaven. We are pilgrims on this earth. You understand that, right? You're getting a little too comfortable on this earth. He's saying, come up higher and you'll start to live higher. Come up higher and the resources of heaven will be released into your life. The more you praise and worship God, the higher you will go spiritually. For we sit with Christ in heavenly places already. Start to live like it. We need to start living like it. It attracts, like I said, it attracts the atmosphere of heaven. Your verbal praise. Now, I keep saying verbal, but just know when I talk about verbally releasing the sound of heaven, just take for granted that I'm talking about that your heart is connected. Your spirit man is in agreement and connected. And then you speak. I'm not talking about empty words here. I'm not talking about just blab it and grab it. No, believe it, blab it and grab it. Oh, you're one of those blab it and grab it preachers. Yeah, I am. But add believe it right in front of it, right? Believe it, then blab it and grab it. James 4:8 says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. As you and I release the sound of heaven with our praise and worship to God, it attracts the manifest presence or the glory of God. It attracts, like I said, the resources of heaven to come to earth. That's why God says in 2 Peter chapter 1, 1 through 4, he says you can be partakers of the divine nature. Say divine nature. That's not New Age. That's the Word of God talking about that. The New Age just tried to twist it, and they tried to take God out of it. But God says, if you stay close to me, yeah, you're going to walk in that divine nature. Amen? So God's angels desire to join in with our praise and worship to God. Did you know that? Every time you start praising and worshiping God, there's angels that come on the scene around you, and they join in with your praise and worship to God. Several times, the psalmist wrote, praise him, you heavenly host, as he, the psalmist, was praising God as well. Why? Because he had a revelation that when you start praising God, you're attracting heaven. You're attracting heaven's resources. Again, our citizenship as a Christian is in heaven. The Word of God says that we are foreigners and pilgrims on this earth. Don't get too comfortable on this earth. Don't do it. It'll bite you. Spiritually speaking, again, we sit with Christ in heavenly places. We need to be more acquainted with the spiritual things as a Christian. Become more acquainted with our home country, the kingdom of heaven. Amen. When we release the sound of heaven with our praise and worship to God, the kingdom which we are a citizen of in heaven, again, is brought down to earth. I like to say it this way. There's a divine transfer being taken place between heaven and earth. Say divine transfer. I like that. I like that phrase. We are exalting our King, Jesus, on this earth, which is a foreign land to us. See, that's why the Bible calls Satan the god of this world. Small g, mind you, but nevertheless, he's operating. Anybody see the Olympic opening? Making fun of the Lord's Supper, right? Hello, we're pilgrims and foreigners. If you are enjoying that thing, there's a problem. You might want to get born again. Amen? But we are exalting our King Jesus in a foreign land. We are advancing and establishing the kingdom of God on this earth. When we release the sound of heaven, we are honoring God, listen to this, with the very breath that he breathed into us. We're giving it back to him. We're giving it back to him in praise and in worship to him. Our praise and worship silences the enemy. It puts the enemy to flight in terror and confusion. When you release the sound of heaven, Satan and the rebellious angels that were kicked out of heaven, it's a reminder to them of their stupidity. It's a reminder to them of their eternal destination in the lake of fire. Amen? When the enemy comes to attack us and we begin to praise and worship God, the enemy gets a spiritual operator on the other end that says this, I'm sorry, your call cannot be completed at this time. Don't let it get completed. In other words, when the enemy speaks to you, don't let it get in your heart. Amen. Don't let it get in your heart. Amen. Send it back. Amen. Cut that wire in the name of Jesus. Amen? See, the enemy knows, the kingdom of darkness knows how much power Christians have. They just hope you don't use it. They hope you don't find out. They hope you don't meditate on that fact. They just hope you don't use it. Doesn't that just tick you off when you think about it? Right? It makes you want to do it even more, doesn't it, when you hear the preaching on it? See, that's what preaching is for, to stir up the body of Christ. Amen? To put us in a back in a proper mindset. To flush out those worldly mindsets that's holding you back, right? There's so many things that we as Christians hold on to that are nothing more than worldly mindsets, traditions of man. Flush them out in the name of Jesus, amen? So, we need to sing spiritual songs, hymns, and thanksgiving to the Lord in our personal and corporate times of praise and worship. Go to Ephesians 5. I've been bringing this up. I may have brought this up a couple weeks ago, but I want to read it again. Again, there's nothing new under the sun. Messages are to remind us. Sure, there's some revelation mixed in it. It's revelation to you, not revelation to God, right? It's revelation to us, something new to us, but not to God. Ephesians 5, 18 through 21. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation or excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. It's talking about releasing the sound of heaven to each other. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. So I want you to notice the reason that we are to sing and make melody in our heart is to stay filled with the Holy Spirit. Why? Because releasing the sound of heaven attracts the Holy Spirit. And not only does it attract him, here's the bigger issue of what it does. Are you ready? It makes us more sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Are you following me? Yeah. In other words, so the Bible says that it's possible to grieve the Holy Spirit. But guess what? If it's possible to grieve him, it's possible to make him happy. Right? Everyone wants to look at God like, oh, God never laughs. God never... Well, yeah, if he's a God that has all the emotions that you and I have. We're made in his image. Think about that. Amen? But when we do this, it puts our focus back on God and back on spiritual reality, the spiritual reality that nothing is impossible with God. Right? If you're focused on limitation right now, you're in the flesh. If you got something going on in your life and all you're focused on is the limitation, you're feeling hopeless, you're feeling down, that is the flesh. You need to switch to a spiritual mindset. A spiritual mindset is the mindset that says all things are possible with God. Amen? And it also releases joy and freedom in your life and in the lives of others. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, there is freedom. Amen? It releases and expands the kingdom of God in your life and around you wherever you go when you're releasing the sound of heaven. The enemy, you got to get a hold of this. The enemy doesn't want to be around a Christian, a joyful Christian, and one that is releasing the sound of heaven. Part of releasing the sound of heaven is speaking the name of Jesus. Amen? Now, so Paul and Silas found this out in prison. When, you know, I don't know about you, but if I was in prison, boy, yeah, I mean, that's a tough one, right? We kind of read through it and we just kind of, oh, this is great. Yeah, Paul and Silas, they sang and a miracle happened. No, you got to put yourself in their shoes. Can you imagine the will, the strength, the focus on God that they had to maintain while sitting in a dingy prison cell? This was not a prison cell that was like a condo. This was a small cell, dark, wet, rats, snakes running around. I don't like that. Are you following me? Paul and Silas, they found this out, though, that when they started releasing the sound of heaven, they understood, we start praising God and focusing on him, we're going to attract the resources of heaven, and it sure enough did. Amen. So if you're going through a situation that needs the resources of heaven, you need to start releasing the sound of heaven. Speak the word. Start praising God, even in the midst of your trial. Go to Psalm 67. Let me show you something here. Psalm 67. I want to show you something powerful about praising and worshiping God. See, we praise and worship God for who he is, but you also praise God with purpose. Amen? I want to show you this. This is powerful. Psalm 67, 5 through 7. It says, let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Then, say then. That means something's going to happen because of your praise to God. Then the earth shall yield her increase. God, our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. The result of releasing the sound of heaven in praise and worship to God is, number one, there will be increase. And there will be blessing, and it releases the fear of the Lord. You know what the fear of the Lord is? It's an honor. It's a respect toward him. You want to know why praising him does that? Because, again, it brings you back to spiritual reality. There's some things that we're accepting in our life right now that are not very pleasing to God, and we're caught up in the flesh. But the moment you start focusing on God, you start praising him for who he is, the Holy Spirit, the atmosphere of heaven starts to fill the place. Now that contrast of the darkness that you were once okay with, now you can see the contrast between the light and the darkness. Are you following me? That's why the fear of God starts to grip your heart when the presence of God comes in. You're bringing the characteristics of heaven down to earth when you verbally release, when you agree with and release the sound of heaven. It builds our faith. So there's something that happens. I mean, even you know, even science tells us this. They've done in labs with plants and stuff. Some of them, they played, heavy metal music, and it starts to wilt. And then people, another plant, they start to, oh, you're a great plant. Oh, you're going to grow great. Basically blessing the plant. Yeah. And it grows strong. Words are powerful. Words are powerful. You better make sure the words that are coming out of your mouth toward yourself, toward people, and toward situations align with this word right here, the word of God. Go to Psalm 33. You getting anything out of this? Yeah. Hallelujah. Psalm 33. Psalm 33, verses 1 through 3, I want to take a look at here. And it says, "Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise from the upright is beautiful. Praise the Lord with the harp. Make melody to him with an instrument of 10 strings. Sing to him a new song." In other words, he's saying that means this. Put your whole heart into it. Put your whole heart into it. Start making up your own spiritual songs. Turn off Chris Tomlin. And start really putting your heart into something and tell the Lord how good he is. You make up your own words. Ooh, hallelujah. That wasn't even in here. That was free of charge right there, ladies and gentlemen. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully with a shout of joy. So it says praise from the upright is beautiful. It's like an incense that is going up into heaven to God. Sing to him a new song. Make songs of praise and worship to him. All right, when we release the sound of heaven, I want to go a little deeper into this. It attracts the glory and, like I said, the manifest presence of God. Now, when I use the word glory and the manifest presence of God, I'm using it interchangeably. Okay, that means this, that you can literally, when his presence, his manifest presence or glory comes into a room or upon you, you can literally feel him. You feel his presence. Your hair might, on your arms or whatever, start to lift up. I mean, there is a physical manifestation by his presence coming in. That's what I'm talking about when I talk about the manifest presence and the glory. So it's like this. A cloud, when the glory comes in, a cloud is formed. Listen to this. A cloud is formed by moisture going up into the sky, right? You agree with that? So when that cloud up in the sky, when the moisture keeps going up, it becomes so saturated and so heavy, guess what it produces? Rain. There's your meteorology class today, right? This is what the Holy Spirit showed me. He said our spoken words of praise and worship to God is like moisture going up, and the glory cloud starts to form. And as it keeps going up, that cloud of his glory gets thicker and thicker, and blessings start to be released. That's why Psalm 67 says that the result of releasing the sound of heaven and praise and worship to God is increase, blessing, and the fear of the Lord. So revelation from heaven comes down or is released as our praises go up. The Bible says this, that God inhabits the praises of his people. God, where are you? Where are you? Well, he's saying, well, if you would stop complaining and start praising me, I'll inhabit your praise. Amen. Stop complaining about your situation and start praising him for the breakthrough. And he'll be in the midst of that. Hallelujah. guys, we really got to take hold of how much it is our responsibility opposed to God's responsibility. We have so much more responsibility on this earth. Again, the word of God is settled in heaven, not on earth, unless we do it. I don't know how it can be any more clear, our responsibility on this. But when we are praising and worshiping God by releasing the sound of heaven, again, we are creating that habitation for him in that place and in our life, all right, within us and outside of us. Psalm 91:1 talks about this, that about dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. I like that. Under the shadow of the Almighty. So if God inhabits our praise, it draws him to us. It attracts his manifest presence all around us. His manifest presence is his secret place. His glory over our life is our secret place. Our praise and worship positions us within his manifest presence. Listen, by the way, the secret place, it's not meant to be a secret from you. It's a secret from the enemy. It's a hiding place from the enemy. Hallelujah. I like that. Go to Psalm 91. I want to show you something. In Psalm 91, the first 13 verses are, if you'll read that on your own, I'm not going to read all of it. But in the first 13 verses of Psalm 91, they are a confession from the psalmist. He is releasing the sound of heaven. It's a confession of who God is in his life. Okay? You got to take hold of that. Now, I want to read verses 14 through 16. Keep in mind, the first 13 is a confession. The psalmist is confessing or releasing the sound of heaven of who God is in his life. Now look at verse 14. Now the script gets flipped and God does the talking. Look at this. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. That is power. That is a response to 13 verses of the psalmist getting serious with God and confessing, God, you are my strength. You are my ref. Read it for yourself. And God kind of liked that. God's saying, wow, this guy's heart really is connected to me. And because it's connected, it's not just lip service. He really is hungry for my presence. I'm going to reward him because God is a rewarder of those who what? Diligently seek. You see how the word of God comes together? So our spoken words of praise and worship prepares the way for him and his manifest presence. Again, I like to say it this way. It charges the atmosphere in a place. In fact, as I was writing this, the Holy Spirit revealed something to me. He said, how did John the Baptist prepare the way for Jesus? By speaking words. By speaking words from heaven. John the Baptist was speaking under, listen, a prophetic anointing. He was releasing the sound of heaven, and it prepared the way for the Messiah. Think about that. The glory of God is ushered in as we release the sound of heaven. And that's when miracles, signs, and wonders begin to manifest. The power of God is released as we align ourselves with heaven. Oh, I like that word. Say align. With our home country. It's with our home country, heaven. See, so we as Christians, you could say it this way then. We are connectors between heaven and earth to release the sound of heaven through the gift of prophecy or through the prophetic anointing. Let's talk about the prophetic anointing a little bit. Remember, we give voice to the Logos and we give voice to the Rhema, the spoken word. Go to 1 Corinthians 14:1 real quick. The prophetic anointing is so powerful. It's one of the most powerful anointings, giftings that you can have. I'll tell you why in a moment. But it's also, because it's so powerful, that's when the enemy wants to get in the way, and the prophetic anointing can be the most, listen to me, abused. anointing for personal gain. Are you following me? 1 Corinthians 14:1. Look at this. It says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Now, let's talk about that real quick here. To prophesy means this. If you want to just put it in a nutshell, very easy to understand. To prophesy means to speak under the unction or inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Meaning it didn't originate from your mind. It originated with the Holy Spirit, and he gave it to you, and you spoke it. That's the prophetic anointing. Releasing the sound of heaven, it means to agree with and be led by the Holy Spirit as well. So, why does the Bible tell us to desire, or that word desire there, you know what word you could also use and do no injustice? Are you ready for this? You could change the word desire to the word lust. Now, I know where your mind went, because when you hear the word lust, immediately you're thinking, oh, that's talking about sexual stuff. No. The word lust just means this, a strong desire for something. So this is why God's telling us, desire it. Lust after the gifts of the Spirit, right? Because when you're led by the Holy Spirit, that's when you're going to get good results, right? And then especially lust after prophesying or speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, because it's going to start to build people up. Amen? So why does the Bible tell us to lust after spiritual gifts and especially to prophesy? Because the kingdom of God will not be advanced on this earth without the prophetic word going forth. The prophetic word needs to go forth. The prophetic word is this. The Holy Spirit saying, this is now. This is what's happening now. Speak it. Speak it into existence, right? All right, so that is why Satan and evil spirits fight the prophetic ministries, prophetic anointing, and the gifts of the Spirit so hard. All right, when you're operating in the gifts of the Spirit in the prophetic anointing, you're surrendering your will to the will of God. You're like, I'm not going to speak what I want to speak. Holy Ghost, you speak what you want to speak. I'm going to speak what you give me to speak. All right, so the Bible calls Satan the prince of the power of the air. Isn't that interesting? I'm talking about releasing the sound of heaven. Sound goes through the air. Listen, and the Bible calls Satan the prince of the power of the air. So when we prophesy or speak under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, it disrupts the enemy. It disrupts the enemy's heavy atmosphere. Have you ever felt that before? Where maybe in here, in our church service, you know, there's an atmosphere that's just heavy and heavy. And someone gives a prophetic word and it's like, whoa, someone just lifted a blanket off everyone. Someone just put an oxygen mask on someone. It just feels lighter in here. It's the prophetic anointing. When we release the sound of heaven, Satan's kingdom is stopped from advancing in that place or in that individual's life. That's why you need to connect. When you're out evangelizing with people, you pray, Lord, allow me to prophesy to people. Allow me to prophesy. Now, don't let it be my own words. Holy Spirit, you give me the words. Let the gifts of the Holy Spirit operate through me so it's not James, it's the Holy Ghost. That's why it says when someone hears someone prophesy, it says they'll say, wow, God is in you of a truth. Because they sense that anointing on it. They sense power and authority on it. That's not from James. I'm just simply a connector. And it's the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And it changes people. Amen? So the enemy is constantly trying to stop Christians from releasing the sound of heaven. Amen? One thing that I noticed personally, and that's true, is that when a word of prophecy is spoken, again, the whole atmosphere changes, all right? Again, that's because those words did not originate from you. They originated from heaven. The prophetic anointing advances the kingdom of God because God's manifest presence fills that place. Angels start to fill that place. Angels are dispatched into that place. we got to start operating and flowing in the gifts of the Spirit, not flesh. Hello, somebody. In the gifts of the Spirit. Spiritual chains fall off of people when the sound of heaven is released over them. We must release the sound of heaven. Next, there is creative power and circumstances are changed when we release the sound of heaven. Jesus taught us this truth. Go with me to one of my favorite passages, Mark 11. Mark 11. Mark 11, 20 through 24. I want to read it again. If anything, just to get this verse in your spirit, to get this verse in your thought life, and to keep it there. Amen? Look at this. Now in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, to Jesus, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God, or literally in the Greek it means have the God kind of faith, believe and speak. That's what it's talking about. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things which he says will be done. There it is. You got to believe it before you speak it for anything to happen. Those things will be done. He will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe you receive them and you will have them. At the point that you pray, there must be belief in your heart. If you feel like there wasn't belief in your heart, pray it again. If you prayed it again, you felt like there wasn't belief there again, fill yourself with the word, get your faith built up, then pray it again. Well, isn't that faithless? Well, it's not working already. You might as well try again. Isn't that funny how Christians think? Oh, that'd be faithless to pray it again. Well, you're not getting what you're getting, so pray it again. Bless God. Get into the word. Build it up, right? Build your faith up and then pray it again. God didn't say don't pray, don't ever pray that thing again for that thing again. So when God, listen to this, we're going deeper. When God created the earth and the universe, he released spoken words, and he started it with this, let there be. Say, let there be. See, we as Christians need to follow that same pattern. We need to find out we need to find out what the blood of Jesus Christ has purchased for us and declare, let there be. Let there be freedom. Let there be healing. Let there be peace. Let there be joy. Let there be provision. Are you following what I'm saying? Say, let there be. See, the blood of Jesus bears witness on earth and in heaven. The Word of God says the blood of Jesus bears witness on earth and in heaven. On earth, because his blood touched the ground when he was beaten, when he was crucified. In heaven, because he presented his blood on the mercy seat of heaven after his resurrection. There is power in the blood of Jesus Christ. There are promises and provision waiting for all of us to tap into. Amen? Amen? There is creative power in the words that we speak. Blessing or cursing. Cursing agrees with and releases the devil's words and power. And blessing agrees with and releases God's words and power on this earth. It's really that simple. We need to speak the sound of heaven over our children by blessing them. Amen? Amen. Speaking the word of God over them. We need to, here's what you're doing when you bless them. You're creating the atmosphere of heaven around their life. Oh, that's good, isn't it? Listen to this. Jesus released the sound of heaven when he went to Lazarus' tombs and he said, Lazarus, come forth. Think about this. Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit when he spoke that prophetic utterance and command. How do we know that? Because Jesus said this, Jesus only did what he saw his Father to do. Amen? He was totally surrendered to the will of God. Jesus said this, that I only speak what I hear the Father speaking. Meaning, it wasn't his own words. He was hearing the Father through the Holy Ghost, and he spoke it, and that's why there were results. I don't know if you know this or not. Jesus walked as a man on this earth. He walked as an example that we are supposed to walk in. You get that, right? I think some Christians don't get that because they're always using Jesus as the excuse. Oh, that was Jesus. No, he was our example. He was a man anointed with the Holy Ghost. He had to be, or else his sin sacrifice wouldn't have counted. You get it? You guys awake out there? Oh, good, good. Okay, listen. I'm almost done. Stick with me. Almost done. Yeah, you know, when I worked at the Abundant Life Prayer Group at Oral Roberts University in Tulsa, I go into Rhema. Many healings and miracles manifested when the prayer partners on the call, when they verbally rebuked sickness and disease, and they spoke the word of God over people's bodies. You know, you got to release the word. You got to release the sound of heaven. Amen? Listen to this. David was anointed by the Holy Spirit to play the harp. And when he played for King Saul, it said evil spirits left Saul. Now, here, listen to this. David was releasing the sound of heaven through that harp because here's why. You ready? Because the Holy Spirit anointed David to play that instrument. It's all about the anointing of the Holy Ghost. If you're trying to do stuff on your own apart from the anointing, forget about it. You're defeated. It's done. The enemy's got the upper hand. We need the anointing. Amen? Even to play the harp. Come on. If we're going to make changes, it's all about being led by and flowing in the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Now, let's talk about words of knowledge real quick. We release the sound of heaven when we speak a word of knowledge that the Lord has given to us about a person. Now, a word of knowledge is when the Holy Spirit, if you're ministering to someone or someone's by you and the Holy Spirit drops a fact about the person's present situation or past. A word of wisdom has to do with the future. Are you getting this? Yeah. Now listen to me now. So in connection to healing, the Holy Spirit gives a word of knowledge about certain diseases, okay, or a certain disease. And we verbally speak it out and healing manifests in that person's body. Why? See, here's why. Breakthroughs happen when words of knowledge are verbally released because they need to be released. A word of knowledge is worthless unless it's verbally spoken. You getting me? Listen to this now. It's got to be verbally released. A word of knowledge is inactive or worthless unless it's verbally released or spoken to that individual or in a service, okay? Here's what it is. At the point that it's given, this is what the Holy Spirit told me. He said, at the point that it's given, it needs to be released because it's a spiritual time bomb. There's a timing attached to it. There's a timing attached. And who knows what that reason is. Maybe at that very moment, that person, the Holy Spirit's ministering to that person about their infirmity, sickness, or disease. And that would have been the very moment when that word is released, just sparks fly in their heart. Boom, they receive. Words of knowledge are a spiritual time bomb. Don't ever forget that. So if the Holy Spirit gives you a word of knowledge, don't sit on it because it's probably going to be ineffective later on. Release it immediately. Amen? If you desire heavenly characteristics and results, again, we must release the sound of heaven. We release the sound of heaven when we pray in the Spirit. Now, praying in the Spirit it means this, being led by the Holy Spirit, which includes praying in tongues. And this is my last, verse here, John 16:13. I could go all day, people, so. All right. John 16:13. I'm trying to give you a complete picture of what releasing the sound of heaven means. John 16:13. Jesus said this. He said, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, or the Holy Spirit, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. Our Heavenly Father speaks to the Holy Ghost, that's what the Holy Ghost speaks to us. Again, so it all originates in heaven from the throne room. Think about that. That's powerful. He will speak and he will tell you or show you things to come, the King James says. The Holy Spirit only speaks what he hears from heaven. And when we're obedient to pray, allowing him to lead us, we are agreeing with God and releasing the sound of heaven on earth. That's why it's so important in your prayer life. Just don't go into it with your fleshly Christmas list. Hello? Don't do it. You're probably going to come out disappointed. See, God's always answering prayer. It's either a yes, no, or not right now. The no and the not right now means you're in a fleshly mindset because you're trying to either jump ahead of him or you're asking amiss something that's not the will of God. If you get your answered prayer, you're in a spiritual mindset. You following me? So when you go into your prayer closet, before you go in there, say, Holy Spirit, show me, what do you want me to pray for? What do you want me to pray for? And pray in tongues. When we pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit, we are yielding to the Holy Spirit to let the syllables come out. But the Holy Spirit is in control of what's being prayed through us. We are simply yielding to him. Amen? We speak as the Holy Spirit gives us the utterance. And you're praying the perfect will of God. Why wouldn't you pray in tongues? Right? Why wouldn't you want the Holy Spirit baptism and pray in tongues? Other than you heard some dumb stuff from a tradition of man back in the day, and you think it's of the devil. Hello, somebody. It's totally biblical. It's in the Word of God. Why wouldn't you want to use it? Get over yourself. Amen? So the Holy Spirit's praying the perfect will of God. Literally, he's speaking through you the very words from heaven through us on earth. We are releasing the sound of heaven. We need to be a yielded mouthpiece. Now, as I close here, just a couple of points I want to share with you that were interesting. Just something to meditate on this week. The sound of heaven, I mentioned it earlier, but I'm going to say it again. It's interesting. The sound of heaven resounds on the inside of every person on this earth, whether born again or unsaved. All right? They're because God created that person. But here's the thing. The unsaved are astray because the sound of heaven is being distorted by their sin nature that's in their spirit man. Right? So they're out of, you could say it this way, they're out of harmony with heaven, of course, because their father is Satan before they're born again, right? You could say it this way, they got the wrong vibe going on. Right? All right, so they must be born again to align their spirit man with heaven. All right, this is why, again, that's how they get saved. When you're preaching the word, people are saved by the foolishness of the preaching the word. Right, the world thinks it's foolishness that we're up here preaching the word, but guess what? Hearts are changed, hearts are pricked as words, as I'm releasing the sound of heaven up here. The world thinks it's foolishness, but God says, this is the my power going forth because you're releasing the sound of heaven. And so people start to, the unsaved people, they start to hear the word. Their conscience starts to prick at them. The Holy Spirit is trying to draw them and woo them. And finally, one sweet day, they make Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of their life. Ephesians 10 says that we are God's workmanship. In the Greek, that word workmanship, you know what it means? Poem. We are God's poem. Think about that. So we are God's poem. All right. I believe this has something to do with the sound of heaven. And then you connect it with Zephaniah 3:17, that God rejoices over us with singing. That God sings over us. Isn't that amazing? So I just want you to meditate on those things this week if you could. They're powerful. Let the Holy Spirit reveal that. So the main point I wanted to get across to you today is that there is absolute power when we agree with and release the sound of heaven on this earth, when we align ourselves and speak the word of God and the words that the Holy Spirit gives us to speak. Don't be silent. Verbalize it. Speak out. Amen. Settle it in your heart today that to be an unhindered vessel, a connector between heaven and earth for the power of God to flow through you. Come on, people. It's time to release the sound of heaven. Let's stand up in this place. Hallelujah. I think we need to start selling some shirts here. I got through Pastor James' sermon today, all right, without falling asleep. I appreciate that. Now, maybe there's someone in here that you've never made Jesus Christ Lord of your life. Prayer team, come on up. You've never made Jesus Lord of your life. Do not leave this place without doing that. I've been to too many funerals, have done too many funerals where people think that they have all this time, but they don't. We don't know. Amen? So while your heart is pricked today, you heard the sound of heaven come forth. Today's the day to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. If you want to do that, come down and pray with one of the prayer team members. Maybe you're here today and you're like, you know, I have not been speaking what I should be speaking. I have not been releasing the sound of heaven. If that's you, you want to rededicate your life to the Lord, come down and pray with one of the prayer team members. If you want to learn more about the Holy Spirit baptism, about praying in tongues and the power of the Holy Spirit, come on down. They will minister to you today, and you can receive. Amen? Why wouldn't you want to? That's my question. If you need prayer for anything else, they'll stay as long as you need to pray over you today. Visitors, thank you so much for coming today. And people, I'm telling you, leave this place and release the sound of heaven. I guarantee you, you will start to see results. You're going to start to see the favor of God in your life like never before. Amen? All right, have a great week. And if you need anything, you know where to find us. Love you all.